The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Uber and sponsored by Verizon, Miller Lite, and United Airlines.
So the Bears report to Bourbon A for training camp exactly 3 weeks from today. There's a lot to discuss until we get to that point, including a big deadline that takes place next Friday when the Bears and Alshon Jeffrey either have to agree on a long-term deal or Jeffrey will play the following 2016 season under the franchise tag, which will make him a free agent afterwards, and who knows what will happen after that. 312-644-6767 is the phone number here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. I'm Zach Zaidman, pleased to be joined by 85 Bear Tom Thayer. Jim Miller, the former Bears quarterback, will join us a little bit later on in the program, and we will also visit with one of the Bears rookies, the running back from Indiana, Jordan Howard, will join us this hour as well. But before we get to Alshon Jeffrey and training camp, which starts in 3 weeks, Tommy, you can't help but ignore what's happening in the NBA. And clearly NFL players aren't ignoring it either, because anyone who's been on social media over the last few days, you realize that it is driving some of these NFL players crazy watching the money, the guaranteed money that these NBA players are getting. And as a guy who played back in the day before free agency in the NFL, can you process what's happening here?
Well, Zach, I'm glad you brought it up because it's like you read my mind. I was thinking of Alshon Jeffrey when I was thinking about free agency in the NBA over the last couple days. But, you know, when you look at a guy like Kevin Durant, let's talk about the most high-profile guy at free agency. What is his realistic pursuit? His pursuit is trying to win a ring within his career in the NBA. And I know they have an incredible money attachment to it, but really, in the measurement of success is if you have a world championship ring or not. And yeah, financially, we weren't rewarded like they are today. But I would rather walk away from a career with a championship ring and that experience and how that factors in the future of your life than I would have the bundle of these guys got and have limited to no championship success. And so, you know, I know you may think that sounds kind of corny, but it's fact, because the experiences of winning a Super Bowl and getting to the NFC Championship game and get the 49ers a few years later and getting beat, it gives you the experiences of the great ups and the great downs of a professional career. So, you know, I don't think that you can have that financial attachment to it if you're a fan or somebody paying attention, because that's not the game of football. That's not the same as our collective bargaining agreement and the guarantees that go along with it. However, NFL players are being rewarded financially as well as some guys are in the NBA level. And when you think of Andrew Luck, what did he get? $87 million of his $140 is guaranteed. So these guys are walking away, and they're filling their pockets. But, Zach, it is the measurement of success and how you know how a Super Bowl or playoff success filters into your career.
You know, I often think that when I hear people say that Kevin Durant took the easy way out because he joined a team that was already set and knocking on the door of a championship, they've already won one. They came very close to winning another one this past season. But if you had the opportunity, say you played with Dan Marino, who had one shot at trying to get a ring, failed to do it in his rookie season, and never was able to get back to the big game. If he had an opportunity to leave and do the things that these players in the NBA are doing, do you think, when you look back at it, that that's something that he would have chosen to do?
I don't know. You know, it's a lot harder to predict who's going to win the Super Bowl when you're talking about, you know, 60 players, just a round up to that game day number. And I don't think there is no assurances that if you go to any football team and pick any team next year in the NFL, if you put Dan Marino on that football team, are you guaranteed a Super Bowl? And I don't think Golden State is guaranteed a world championship next year, even though they have Kevin Durant. I think you saw some vulnerabilities in the size of Steph Curry throughout the playoffs in the NBA. And I think they're vulnerable to getting beat by teams that have some more size on the floor, and they can do different things that maybe Golden State won't be able to match up against them too. So just to say that it's a predictable scenario that you're going to win because a player is came to your football team. And, you know, Peyton Manning did a lot to assist Denver when they were in their pursuit of a Super Bowl, but it was never a guarantee. It was just the fact that they had a great football team, and the contributions of the defense meant just as much as the contributions of Peyton Manning. And, you know, that's one of the unique things about the NFL and its pursuit. And, you know, last week we had a chance to talk about the life of Buddy Ryan. And when you look at the matchup of Mike Ditka and Buddy Ryan on the same coaching staff, I think the two of them did more to contribute to the Bears winning the Super Bowl as much as if there was only one of them there. So I do think it was important to have them both. But they also amassed, Jim Finks amassed a great pool of players that fit into the system perfectly, were guided by the head coach of Mike Ditka, and the architect of the defense was Buddy Ryan. There is no guarantees no matter where you sign or how much you sign for, because we know how fragile sports are. You're one injury away from your star player of being knocked off that pedestal. And, again, going back a few years when New England went through the season undefeated and everybody thought it was a guarantee that they were going to win the Super Bowl, and then you have the great pass rush of the New York Giants that stood in their way, and, you know, they're the ones wearing the Super Bowl ring.
312-644-6767 is the phone number here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer with you. We'll be joined by Jim Miller a little bit later on this hour. All right, let's get to the Alshon Jeffrey stuff, because, Tom, this millennium we've had, prior to Jeffrey, two high-profile Bears who were in a similar situation with the franchise tag. They were not pleased that they were tagged, and there was a lot of conversation. There was a lot of stuff being said in the media. For example, if you remember, after the Bears made Super Bowl 41, that offseason, Lance Briggs was tagged, was not happy about it, went on national television and said he would never play for the Bears again. But then they reached the deadline, right? And all of a sudden, boom, when there was a deadline and you have to really negotiate, they agreed to a long-term deal. And then just a few years ago, you heard Lance Briggs say that if he's going to go out, he's going to go out as a Bear and played his entire NFL career with the Bears. You know, a few years later, Matt Forte gets tagged, not happy about it, was talking publicly about sitting out the entire season and making that an option. Deadline day came, and he ended up signing a long-term deal. And when that deal ended this past offseason, he ended up going to the Jets, but had a very nice career with the Bears during his time here. Now Alshon Jeffrey, he hasn't spoken a lot publicly since being tagged. You know, there was that one time that we heard from him during the mandatory mini camp, and, you know, he kind of sidestepped all the questions about his future. Now, July 15th is rolling around, essentially 9 days to go before these guys have to make a decision. Do you believe that Alshon Jeffrey will end up agreeing to a long-term deal with the Bears? And can you really get one until you reach a deadline and the pressure's on?
You know, Zach, throughout my entire playing career, there's been a lot of guys that were up for negotiations. I've read in the paper a lot of idle threats, because you have to have the desire, first of all, to be a great football player. That matters first and foremost above anything else or who you're playing for. So if you don't go out there and attack the offseason with the desire to be the greatest receiver in the NFL, if you don't go out there and prepare yourself at a Super Bowl level, and you go out there and you have an injury plague season, or if you have something that derails you throughout that football season, that is going to be a reflection of how other teams think about you. The best thing Alshon Jeffrey could do, if he realistically wants a long-term deal in the NFL, whether it's from the Bears or any other team, is to put effort into the offseason like he never has before. Show up at training camp in tip-top shape and give every day effort of a champion. And then give the reflection to your teammates, to your position, to your position coach, that you're there to be the number one receiver of the Bears. That's how you're going to get rewarded. And when you do have the experience of John Fox and just the amount of players that he's been able to go eyeball to eyeball without his throughout his career and get a true understanding of what that player's thinking. And then you have Ryan Pace, who has a great understanding of the desire of players and the effort that they're putting into their sport, their position, or their expectations. They're giving away their secrets. So these guys know a lot more about the player than the statements that we get from them. However, like I said, I've seen a lot of players make threats that have never come through, whether it's been on the broadcasting side of it or while I've been a player. And the best thing that Alshon can do is make sure that, you said, 3 weeks from now they go to training camp, is when they come out of that tunnel at Bourbonnais for their first practice, that he is not fighting for breath. He's not taking a rep off. He's not asking for a Veterans Day off 3 or 4 days into practices. He has to be a reflection of his own hard work, that he's dedicated himself to the off season, and that's the way you're going to get rewarded with a contract. And whether it's before the date or it's sometime after it where the Bears go, wow, this guy has rededicated himself. He's playing up to the 6'4" frame that he has. He's catching balls above his head. He's being a great complimentary receiver to Kevin White and Eddie Royal and the rest of the guys that have been working hard this entire offseason. That's when this is going to get settled. It's not going to get settled because you go out there and you get into a long, conversation about how badly you want to be rewarded. It's about the efforts and the reflections that they see in you and what you've done throughout the offseason.
312-644-6767 is the phone number here on Bears All Access. I don't know, Tom, if you've had a chance to watch the Meet the Rookie series that you can catch on ChicagoBears.com and on the Bears Facebook page, but they've spotlighted a number of the Bears rookies this season. One of them is the running back out of Indiana, Jordan Howard, and he joins us now on the program. And I guess the best way to go about explaining what it's like to be a rookie when you enter Hallis Hall, Tom, you're not treated the same way as a veteran. The rookies have to go downstairs. They're not allowed in sort of the big boy club where the veterans are with the lockers. They have to earn their way upstairs. And Jordan now joins us here on Bears All Access. What's that like? That has to be different when you consider you were the big man on campus at Indiana, right?
Yeah, definitely a difference. Of course, it's shock, kind of, because in college you used to be in one locker room with everybody. But now it's like, I think it gives us the rookies a better chance of getting to know each of the rookies even better, because we're all together all the time.
Jordan, I think that's a great point, is that you do really get to know the rookies better because you're kind of in the dungeon trying to earn yourself upstairs. But don't you feel that you've already had this experience kind of in a small snippet? Because going to UAB and then transferring to Indiana, you had to feel that you had the desire, the willpower, and the ability to make that step from UAB to Indiana.
Definitely, but I feel like it kind of humbles you and stuff. Because in college, you might have been the guy and stuff, but now you're just a rookie and you're just nobody to them right now, and you just you're on the bottom of the totem pole and you have to work your way up.
What's been the toughest thing for you since becoming a professional player? Because I know that injuries kind of hampered your college career, and at the NFL level, the durability is the most important thing. Have you changed the way you go about preparing to make sure that you can last for the long haul?
I haven't really changed anything because last year was the only year of my college career that I got injured and missed any games. So I don't really feel like I need to change much, but I definitely stay on like top of my rehab, just like rehab prevention and things like that, and ice every day.
Jordan, don't you feel that you kind of prove that you have durability built in? When you look at your sophomore year, 1,587 yards and 306 carries, doesn't that kind of give a reflection that you do have that football durability built in you?
Well, I definitely feel like they give the presentation, but I feel like I get a negative stigma of being injury prone or not having great durability because I missed some games last year.
We're talking with Jordan Howard, the Bears rookie running back, here on Bears All Access. Sax Aidman alongside Tom Thayer. All right, let's go into that dungeon. Take us into that room at Hallis Hall and give us kind of a scouting report on the other rookies on the team. Who's the most interesting guy downstairs? Who's the most interesting first-year Bear?
I'd probably have to say Deion Bush or Derek Key.
Now, why?
They're always just arguing about anything. They always bringing up a topic and just they always have an opinion about everything. It's a great conversation. And Derek Key, he's like probably the funniest rookie we have.
You know, Jordan, I just want to go back one more college game because last year I remember I was driving from Cleveland back to Chicago and I was listening to the Michigan-Indiana game. And he had 238 yards. He had 35 carries. It seemed like when I was listening to that game is every time they were saying how many carries you had in a row, and I go, there's no way they could give it to him again. Then all of a sudden you get another handoff and you break off that run. Were you getting more inspired with each carry you were getting, or is that something like, hey, I'm a running back. You can feed it to me as much as you want?
I definitely feel like it's a combination of both, but I definitely get more inspired the more carries I get later in the game, especially when it's a tight, close game. And then when you have success and you can tell the defense is having a lot of trouble stopping you and they're, like, tapping out, it definitely inspires you even more.
Jordan, I find it interesting because at least throughout the offseason portion at practice, there was, and we're being told that it's going to be a running back by committee. But being a part in that room, do you have a true idea as to how this coaching staff plans on using the running backs within the framework of the offense?
I have no clue of how they're going to plan on using me or the other running backs, but I'm just trying to go in and prove that I can do everything that they ask of me and that I'm versatile and I'm an all-around player and every down back and just do what they're asking me.
You know, Jordan, that's a good point. It's when you talk about being an every down back, you have 11 catches last season, but when you talk about running back guy by committee, is you can't be one-dimensional. You have to be have the ability to catch the ball out of the backfield and even upfield. You have to have the ability to be a blocking running back, and you have to be able to pick up blitzes along the line of scrimmage. Do you feel that that's something that you can develop into a strength, or is it something that throughout your time at training camp that will be the one area that will require the most work of you?
I feel like I had to put just more time into it and keep cracking my technique because you always have to keep working on your technique and so you won't fall off and things like that, so you can keep improving. You can't get complacent with things.
You know,
I feel like I have the ability to do those things if I just keep putting the work in.
Tom talked about this earlier when he mentioned your game against Michigan, and we're visiting with former Indiana running back Jordan Howard, one of the Bears rookies. And when you look back at your college career at Indiana, that was an up-tempo style offense where you guys are running plays quickly. You're not trying to give the defense a chance to rest. Even the fastest NFL games, there's still a little bit more time to kind of catch your breath. That has to be a difference because we always hear that the NFL game's a lot faster than the college game. But for you, the tempo that you were running in college, it has to help. Do you feel like it slowed down at the NFL level for you?
While I've been in practice, I don't feel like it's slowing down a bit because we've just been going so fast. And it caught me off guard, like my first few practices, how the tempo of the practices and things like that. But I feel like when we get into games, it might slow down because we have to make, like, a lot of checks and stuff at the line. So I feel like we won't be going as fast.
Hey, Jordan, you were exposed to three different offenses throughout your college career. Is there any similarities to what you hear or you see in the huddle with the Bears from your offenses that you've already experienced in college? Or is this like a completely new terminology, huddle atmosphere than you've had in the past?
Most of the terminology is just completely new. My first year at UAB, we ran like more of a pro-style offense. So some of the things are kind of similar, but I don't really like remember them since I had two other offenses after that. But I know I remember something like the footwork we had. We did a lot of inside zone. We did a lot of out formation under center.
What's the best way to describe what this offense is going to look like from what you've been able to pick up in meetings and what you see? Obviously, you guys don't practice in pads, but from what you've been able to see from the practices, do you kind of have a little snapshot idea of what this offense is going to be like?
I feel like it's going to be a very versatile offense, and it's going to be hard to game plan against because we'll be able to run the ball as well as pass, and I think the run game will set up play action as well. So I feel like it's going to be hard to stop us.
Hey, Jordan, you're listed as 6'2", 230. Is that the Jordan Howard that we're going to see at training camp, or did they tell you to lose or gain at any way on any side of that 230?
I'll probably lose a little weight going into training camp just so I can be even quicker and things like that. But last year I played at 230, but I felt pretty good. But I feel like I can swim up a little more.
If you want to know more about Jordan Howard, all you have to do is go to ChicagoBears.com and check out the Meet the Rookie series. He's part of it. There are a lot of other interesting rookie characters as well. But the thing that stands out about Jordan Howard in this interview and in that series, confidence. And you have a lot of it, and it's not a false sense of confidence. Where did that come from?
I guess just being doubted and stuff, and everybody just overlooking me a lot of my life, like going into college, I had one offer, and then at the program, I shut down. I had all these schools wanting me and stuff, and when I was coming out of high school, I couldn't even hear from these schools and stuff, and it was crazy. They just wanted me now, but I took advantage of the opportunities that I was given, and just then in the draft, I was like the 11th running back selected and things like that, and I just got a big chip. I felt like I was better than a lot of those guys, but I feel like everything happened for a reason.
Hey, Jordan, from the last practice at minicamp into the opening of training camp, you have a big window of opportunity to be on your own. What are you doing to make sure that you're on top of your game when training camp starts? And there's anything that you do on a daily basis that you're going to take advantage of this time?
I'm down in Florida right now, like North Miami Beach, training at Pete Bomberito's. And we go in every day, Monday through Friday. You go in on Saturday sometimes to just get a lift in. But we, when I first go in, I get medical and things like that, and just a little warm up. Then we run on the field, then we lift. Then I come get rehab after I'm done. And then like on Wednesdays, it's a pool day, and more like a recovery day. And then I have like an hour massage that day.
Jordan Howard is all business. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you in 3 weeks down in Bourbonnais.
Thank you, Jordan.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
Bears rookie running back Jordan Howard, our guest here on Bears All Access. Want to remind you that you can get the latest updates and messages from your Chicago Bears all year long by signing up at chicagobears.com/emails. Your phone call's coming up at 312-644-6767. We'll also visit with Jim Miller, who will join us in just a little bit here on the show. Tom Thayer's around. I'm Zach Zaidman. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show hosted by Anthony Adams and Lauren Screen and brought to you by Jimmy John's. Inside the Bears airs every weekend on My50 and Fox 32 Chicago, or visit chicagobears.com/insidethebears to check out show segments anytime. And this week, there's an encore presentation of Inside the Bears. Go behind the scenes at Photo Day at Hallis Hall. Kevin White prepares to prove himself after missing his rookie season to injury, and Dick Butkus delivers a strong message to high school football players. Inside the Bears, brought to you by Jimmy John's, airing Saturdays at 6 p.m. on My50 Chicago and Sunday at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. You can also watch show segments online at chicagobears.com anytime. Tom Thayer is along. I'm Zach Zaidman. In moments, we'll be joined by former Bears quarterback Jim Miller here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber. We just spoke with Bears rookie running back from Indiana, Jordan Howard. And let's start with the rookie pool, Tom, and kind of look ahead to what you want to see from specific guys heading into training camp, because the Bears need significant contributions from this rookie class.
Yeah, you know, Zach, a couple weeks ago I had an opportunity to participate in a rookie symposium with all the guys that they had drafted and the free agents and stuff. And it was myself and Big Cat Williams and Jerry Azuma and Tom Waddle, Anthony Adams, and Patrick Manley. And I think the Bears do a great job of letting the rookies understand the organization's expectations of the rookies, how much they want them to be prepared. But they don't ask them to be prepared on their own. Jerry Butler does a great job of making sure that he outlines and diagrams ways that they can be prepared mentally, making sure they're prepared physically. And I don't think you don't put expectations in front of them. You let them understand they're going to have an opportunity to come in here and compete. And the more competitive they are able to be, the more that they're going to be fed, the more reps they're going to earn, the more opportunities are going to be presented to them. So I do think that, you know, the great thing the organization does is they do take the rookies and spend time with those guys exclusively to make sure that they're prepared in every dimension they need to be. Because it's not about worrying about your class schedule, making sure that you have your schedule organized so you can be on the practice field. It's about football. But now, what can you do as a mature athlete? Are you going to willingly take your playbook home and study it on your individual time so you're not out there making mental mistakes? Are you physically prepared so you're on the practice field every day ready to go? Are you asking, you know, you cannot, like I said, you cannot be out there huffing and puffing in trying to get through the practice rather than being in control of yourself for it and being physically ready to go through all the demands of it. So, you know, this is something that started a long time ago. So whether it's Leonard Floyd or Jordan Howard, every one of these guys are going to have an opportunity to come to a football team that had a losing record. First of all, earn an opportunity to earn a position, earn a jersey, and then earn playing opportunities.
I find it interesting, though, that while each player is kind of given an itinerary, you follow this, this is what we expect of you in this first season, you follow this, this is kind of the recipe for success. However, expectations are different depending on where the player was selected. So, for example, a guy like Leonard Floyd, very different things are expected of him, and there's a different pressure coming into camp and the regular season than, say, a player like Jordan Howard, who we just interviewed. And I don't think you can ignore that, the psychological impact on these guys, because when you're making more money and you were drafted higher and people are looking at you because you're the number one guy, you know, that's tough to deal with for some players.
It is. You know, that's you know what, Zach? It's a good point you bring up. But that's part of the weeding out process of, you know, trying to earn your opportunity in the NFL. Because the seventh rounder doesn't know where the first rounder was drafted, just like the second and fifth and all the other guys. Every guy is out there trying to earn their spot at their position, earn a favorable a review from their position coaches, and make sure that any time they have an opportunity to stand in that huddle, they break the huddle, they know their assignment, and they can go out there and competitively get their job done. So, you know, yeah, Leonard Floyd is fortunate because there's more of a dollar figure attached to where he was drafted. However, winning and earning your spot. You know, last week on the show, we had Leslie Frazier on. And when Jay Hilgenberg was telling me that he and Leslie Frazier were the first free agents to make the team in 11 years, I was shocked by that. But then you go and look at each of their careers and how well it panned out and how well they played. Leslie, unfortunately, had an injury that bit him early in his life, but Jay developed into a 7-time Pro Bowler. So don't ever tell a guy who signed the Bears free agent contract that he doesn't deserve or he doesn't have the ability to earn his spot on the team. And that's the great thing about it. That's the great thing about training camp, is because, Zach, we're going to be there every single day watching the development of this football team, and there's going to be times that we'll be tapping each other on the shoulder going, oh, my God, did you see the play this guy made? Or do you see the reluctancy of this guy to really stick his nose in there? And those things are all going to be you know, evaluated every single practice, every single snap, every single day, and it's going to be great fun to watch.
Competition, that's what you always talk about, and we heard it from Jordan Howard. You know, he ticked off the fact that he was the 11th running back taken, and he was not happy about it, felt he was better than that. I know that's something that to this day, you're still upset that you weren't picked higher.
I'm still bitter about being a fourth rounder. I have no control over it, but you know, it didn't make me be any less confident when I got to the practice field.
We'll be back with Jim Miller next on Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago Bears Youth Football Camp, brought to you by Athletico and Gatorade, provides safe, non-contact instruction and fun for summer camp schedule and locations. Visit bearscamps.com. Zach Zaidman here, alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, and pleased to welcome back into the show our quarterback, Jim Miller, joins us here on Bears All Access. Jim, hello and welcome. You know, we had a chance to talk with Jordan Howard, the Bears rookie running back, a little bit ago, and, you know, he was talking about how he's not happy that there were 11 running backs taken prior to the Bears selecting him, and he feels as though, you know, he's got something to prove. And I was talking with a seventh rounder. You know, usually you don't take seventh rounders seriously until they show you something on the field, but Daniel Braverman, who had a standout career in college against big-time schools like Michigan and Ohio State, you know, he talked about how he came from Miami, and because he was undersized, people didn't take him seriously, but right. He felt, because, Jim, he was taken on premier elite level talent for his age group while he was growing up in Florida, down south, that he competed and excelled with the best of them, and he wants to prove it now at the NFL level. And you got to love that kind of attitude heading into training camp 3 weeks from today.
Well, you do. I think you definitely love players that have an edge to them. It doesn't matter whatever motivates you and whatever floats your boat and gets you going. That's fine. There are a lot of players that have been passed over in the draft. The bottom line is that you get your opportunity. And once your foot is in the door, it's up to you to take advantage of that opportunity. We've seen college free agents here this offseason get big-time contracts and are being paid as premier players because they proved it on the field. And, you know, Jordan Howard definitely has the talent, you know, from when he transferred to Indiana and the monster game he put up, what was that, up in Ann Arbor against Michigan. I mean, he is a legitimate back now, is going to have that opportunity. And I think, again, when you're in a John Fox type of offense, it's always been a running back by committee. The more the merrier. So Jordan Howard is definitely going to get his opportunities. And because he's a bigger back, he certainly can fulfill that role of, you know, minimum short yardage and goal line situations or 4-minute offense when you're trying to close out the game, you know, down at the end stretch of a ball game. So it'll be there for him, and then he's got to take advantage of it. But whatever he's got to do to motivate himself or give himself that edge, you know, that's a lot of guys have done it, and they've been late round draft picks and college free agents that have really excelled in the NFL once they've been given that opportunity. How about Terrell Davis? A lot of people think he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. He was a late rounder as well.
Hey, Jim, don't you think when he looks across the room and he sees Jeremy Langford, here's a guy to my same conference. Here's a guy that was a fourth rounder. Here's a guy that was able to earn an opportunity to compete for playing time with Matt Forte. Don't you think all those little igniters are kind of motivators for a guy like Jordan Howard going, hey, if him, why not me?
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you wholeheartedly, Tom. And, you know, a lot of times is, you know, the intimidating factor, I don't know about for you, but Tom, but like for me, when I arrived and got drafted by the Steelers in the sixth round, and I say this story all the time, they threw me in with the ones. And so I'm in there, a Hall of Famer, Damani Dawson, now that you know well at the center position. Barry Foster was a running back. I mean, we had some great players on that team, and that was a little bit intimidating. But you got to pinch yourself, get over it, and say, hey, this is what you love to do and what you want to do. And it just motivated me and got me thirstier to try and, you know, become a starter in the NFL. Because if you love football, you're going to work at it and do anything you can to get on that field.
You can't really find out what you have as a football team, I don't think, until the pads come on. And couple of days into training camp, that's when the pads will come on. You guys watch football differently than most of us. What are you specifically looking for when the pads come on in a John Fox practice?
I want to see what they do until the whistle blows. You know, the thing about it, Zach, is you can sit there and they can call the play in the huddle and you can have a couple different formation changes. You can get the ball, you know, handed to you in your stomach. But what do you do when that linebacker is lowering their shoulder to make contact with you? What are you doing as a wide receiver when you're going across the middle and all of a sudden there's a strong safety in your face ready to light you up? You know, all the different types of instances. If you're an offensive guard and you're pulling to trap an outside linebacker or hit somebody that you need to have a collision involved, what do you do at that instant? Are your feet stopping? Are your feet following through? Are you lowering your shoulders with your head up? Are you trying to duck away from contact? There are so many instances that you can look at in the performance of an individual throughout a football play that can really tell you if the guy's motivated to do it and he needs to be coached better, or is he unmotivated and nervous about that collision?
Yeah, I think for me, one, especially the padded practices, because there's so few of them, you really have to maximize them. And what Tom's talking about there, I mean, say, you know, if, let's say I got an I-right 32 lead. Is the fullback leading with the right shoulder on the middle linebacker? You know, are there all the offensive linemen getting their correct assignment with the techniques that they're properly coached or the depth of routes by receivers? You have to maximize it when you're in pads because it needs to be physical. That's how the game is played on Sunday, and you try and get the most work done that you can. You strive to be perfect. But I think Tom will attest, you will never see the perfect play where everybody is doing everything exactly how they were coached in terms of the techniques because there's going to be anomalies. Maybe it's a different defensive look. Maybe it was a bad angle taken on a certain play where you couldn't get in the proper technique, to make your block. But you strive to be perfect and you strive to have all your techniques where everybody just, you know, knocks their assignment out of the park. Because the perfect play, as we know, if a play is called in the huddle, technically every play is supposed to go for a touchdown.
You know, so. One thing, too, is, you know, Jim, it seems like at the end of every practice, we get to watch the running backs line up against the linebackers, both inside and outside, and they have to accomplish some type of blocking opportunity. You take a guy like Jordan Howard. He's got a lot of carries. He's got 11 catches last year. But can he upgrade those things? Can he make catches out of the backfield when he's on the move? Can he come up and stop a linebacker in his tracks when he has a blitz pickup opportunity? And those are the things that may be so far away from your routine throughout your college career that all of a sudden you got to be a veteran within 3 weeks of doing it, and it is going to take that everyday coaching.
No doubt. You're going to have to, you know, you got to show that you can do more. Your weaknesses need to prove to be strengths, whether it's catching the ball out of the backfield, blocking one-on-one against linebacker in blitz pickup situations. And we always say it, the more you can do. Can he have an impact on special teams? Because most times, the guys that are filling out rosters in order to stick, you better be playing special teams to show your worth.
You saw it with Kadeem Carey last year. He couldn't get on the field and then took special teams a little bit more seriously probably than he did early on his first year and was able to get on the field as a special teamer. Eventually, Matt Forte went down, was able to get some carries on game day as a running back, and he won over John Fox with his hard-nosed running style, and that's why he's in the mix as part of this running back by committee. Want to ask you, Jim, about a move that the Bears made. Since we last spoke, the Bears added another quarterback to the mix, so they now have five. They claimed former Cleveland Browns quarterback Connor Shaw, who was from South Carolina, a guy that did get an opportunity to start a game in the NFL with the Browns when Dowell Loggins was there. Why do the Bears have five quarterbacks on the roster, and what do you think they're looking for?
I think, again, it's to really foster competition. I think it's going to be good competition for David Fales. You know, here's a guy, I know Connor Shaw hasn't played a lot, you know, but he did get in a game for the Cleveland Browns, and he had a good year when he played in college at South Carolina. He throws the ball extremely well. Obviously, Loggins has the background with him as well, so they felt comfortable bringing him in, and he'll be able, I think, to pick up the system very quick because he knows Logan's style of coaching, what he's looking for at the position, you know, the type of reads that he's going to be asked to do. So I just think it creates more competition and more on David Fales than anybody else because he certainly isn't competing against Brian Hoyer. I think he is really going to be the solid backup, and that's already set in stone.
We got to take a break. When we come back, there is plenty to discuss, including this. You saw maybe the most popular name in the National Football League getting into the NBA recruiting circuit last weekend. Jim, have you ever been asked to go to one of these meetings to try and pick up a player from another sport to get him to come to your city?
Not another sport.
He lived at Tom Izzo's house.
Hey, we recruited the hell out of Eric Swan when he was with the Arizona Cardinals to come to Chicago. Same sport, but no, basketball's out of my league.
Can't wait to hear this. Jim Miller's here, so's Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Sabin. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The official tablet app of the Chicago Bears, Bears Daily, powered by Xfinity, is now available for free download. Search Bears Daily for the latest team news, videos, photos, and more. Zach Zaidman, Jim Miller, Tom Thayer with you here on Bears All Access. You know, early in the show, we started out, Jim, Tom and I were talking about, you know, all these moves that are being made in the NBA during this free agency period. The NFL players are noticing. I mean, you follow social media. You see what these players are tweeting and talking about. But I think one of the big differences is the fact that, you know, in the NBA, when you look at their players' union, the biggest names in the sport are very much involved in terms of shaping the direction of the players' union. In the NFL, the biggest players in the sport are not really in leadership roles when it comes to the players' union. I think what you have are the guys that aren't making the big money, that are worried about benefits and health going forward. Those are the guys that are in leadership roles. And I think that's been valued more than, say, what the superstars in the NBA value, which is that big-time money. It's different in the NFL because of the nature of the sport.
Yeah, well, one, bigger rosters, right? What's the NBA got? Maybe 12 guys on the roster, 15 at
15,
the most.
Yeah.
You know, baseball, what, 25? I would think, you know, at the most for baseball, and that just the rosters are much bigger. And, I'd like to see the NFL expand the rosters, quite frankly, because of the Thursday night games. Minimum, activate the entire 53 rather than just 46 on game day, because you're paying those guys anyway. They should play. But in terms of the union, and it's funny, too, because I was thinking about this the other day, Zach. You know, think about those guys that were, really negotiating the latest collective bargaining agreement. Obviously, the players took a huge hit, right? They were getting 71% of the revenue. Now it's going down to gone down to 48%. And, you know, Damora Smith, obviously, who's the executive director of the union, can cut it any way he wants. And he kind of gave the players the ownership of negotiating that deal. But it kind of makes me sick to my stomach, because none of those players went to college to study to be negotiators against billion-dollar owners. At the end, I think Dominique Foxworth was probably the one that was the most versed in doing it. And a lot of those players were older players to begin with. I mean, think about Jeff Saturday. He's in there voting on it. He wasn't even going to be playing under the CBA. He's out of the league right now. And players who are playing currently are going by what older players had negotiated. So, you know, from that standpoint, it's unfortunate, but I just think that you are seeing contracts for players currently creep up there in terms of the guaranteed money. You know, I thought it was crazy when the Albert Haynesworth deal, remember when he went from Tennessee to Washington, and that was a 50% guaranteed contract? You're starting to see some players creep up into the 60%. Ndamukong Suh, obviously the latest deal with Andrew Luck. And that's I never thought I'd see that happen. But I think from the owner's side of it, they're starting to get in dangerous territory. And that's why you see Dave Gettleman, general manager of the Carolina Panthers, he rescinded that offer on Josh Norman. You saw John Elway for Denver Broncos take a hard line in the sand and said, Brock Osweiler, sorry, we're not paying you that much money for 7 starts. And he's playing hardball with Von Miller right now, who they have a legitimate offer out there. It's a 6-year, $114 million deal, but only $39 million of it is guaranteed over the first 2 years. $58 million is guaranteed, but it's over the lifetime of the contract. So you're starting to see some owners and teams starting to rebuff this and to say, this is getting crazy, and we're not going to do it.
You know, what's interesting is, do you think, and Tom, Jim, you guys played, you understand the player mentality here. Do you think the players of today, once this current deal ends, do you think they will take more of a harder line in order to make sure that they can, because no league makes more money than the NFL. So do you think they're going to try and put themselves in a position, and it would involve sacrifice because you really have to strike. You have to be serious about willing to give up some things in order to be able to get to the point where, say, the NBA players are right now.
Yeah, I doubt they'll be able. I'll go first, Tom. I'm sorry if I cut you off there. I don't know if they'll be. They will probably get back a bigger percentage in terms of the total, the way the cap has been going up every year. But I think the bigger, what's in the union's craw is the power of Roger Goodell. And the players have nobody but themselves to blame, because they could have collectively bargained that the last time, and now they've been complaining and moaning every time the commissioner comes down and just reigns his power of authority in terms of how he's disciplining players. Now, I'm not giving the commissioner the benefit of the doubt either, because, you know, he can't be careless and reckless with some of the things he's done with the Ray Rice situation. And obviously, this Deflategate is an absolute, I mean, this thing's a clown show with how that's worked out. So he can't be careless with that power that he covets, but the owners want him to have it, and they will fight hard for him to keep that type of power. But I think the players are really gearing up to try and strip him of that authority.
You know, Jim, you brought up a great point, though, because when Jeff Saturday is involved in the negotiation of the collective bargaining agreement, when he's not going to be there, he's making decisions for something that's never going to factor in his career. In 1987, when we went on strike, we had such a hard time of getting everybody on the same page when we are in meetings going face-to-face, that it's difficult to come to an agreement, because it's not that they're, I'm not calling them not educated, but they're not educated in the negotiation ability that Jim talked about earlier. So it's just really hard unless you have a really the understanding group of what they're trying to dive into for the betterment of players. In a second-year player feels a lot differently than an 8- or 9-year player.
Some great points. Hey, when we come back, is John Fox one of the three most underrated coaches in the NFL? We'll discuss next on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access continues on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Alongside Jim Miller and Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman. So our good friend from NFL Network, Brian Baldinger, put together a list of the most underrated coaches in the NFL. He put John Fox as number three. And I think John Fox is exactly where he should. I don't think he's an underrated coach. I think he's considered one of the best coaches in the NFL. Wouldn't you agree, Tom?
Oh, yeah. I mean, just look at the opportunities he's been given to be a head coach in the NFL and then where he's taken the teams during his tenure. You know, how difficult it is to win a Super Bowl, that's the same for every single football coach out there. But John has a great rapport with the players. He has a great eye for talent, and he knows how to talk to players to get the best out of them individually and get the best out of them as a unit.
I think guys like him and Andy Reid are underappreciated for what they do. I think everybody understands he's a great coach. John Fox has never had two losing seasons in a row. His teams have always bounced back and played well, and he'll sneak up. You know, we call him Foxy for a reason. I mean, he's sneaky like a fox, because the minute you don't prepare for him, John Fox coach team is going to get you. But I think, you know, leading two teams to Super Bowls, obviously how he's trying to rebuild the Chicago Bears right now, it'll be interesting to see if they have a winning season this year to prove his statistics hold true over his NFL career as a head coach. And you know, I go back to Andy Reid, too, that I think he's underappreciated. He had five championships took his team to five NFC championships with the Eagles, and he already in 3 years has taken Kansas City to the playoffs twice. So I think both those guys are just underappreciated for how good and quality of coaches that they are.
Guys, we have to wrap it up and say goodbye, but 9 days to go before it's deadline day between Alshon Jeffrey and the Bears in regards to a long-term deal. We will be on next week. That'll be a major topic of conversation. I think the best part so far for this Bears month has been no news, because this is the time of the year where you don't want to read about your players on the bottom line, or you don't want to see them online in any kind of fashion, and the Bears have stayed low-key. That, I think, is a very good thing as we approach training camp. For Jim Miller and Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman saying so long. Thanks for listening to Bears All Access, brought to you by Uber on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on ChicagoBears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by Uber and sponsored by Comcast, PNC, and FanDuel.